Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
And this is episode 104, everyone. And we are very excited. We have a very special interview later in this episode with comedy icon Vicki Lawrence.
Miss Mama.
Yes, she spent 12 years on The Carol Burnett Show and 8 years playing Mama on Mama's Family. 20 years of comedy that people to this day still watch.
Right.
And, we talk about that in the episode later on when I said to her, like, you know, normally it would seem really rude to say to somebody, like, I've actually watched you my entire life, but I've literally watched her my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's Family had its height of popularity practically before Pearlie was even born. But
right. But I remember growing up watching some of it, like some of her and Mama's Family.
Well, Mama's Family is still on in reruns and things like mm-hmm. that. And it's so... very excited. We will be having Vicki Lawrence on. Vicki Lawrence is coming.
Girl, this zoo of hers.
It's not even the zoo. Girl, the problem is not...
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
You got more packages, girl.
Oh, hold on, girl. I'm getting more packages delivered. Hold, please. Y'all, the zoo does go wild whenever I get deliveries or anything. But we also have my upstairs neighbor in my backyard. And... so, just as an update on what's going on around here in the studio, i.e. my apartment, last night I came home from a very, what I felt like was a very productive, very positive day. I had gotten so much stuff done that was needed to get taken care of. And one of my drag kids, whose name is Will, is in for a week visiting from Washington, D.C. And he was arriving last night, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to run home.
Uh-huh.
I'll straighten up the house before Will gets here because I've been getting so many packages delivered from Amazon Prime that I've been on the go so much that I have not been able to, like, even begin to put things away. But when I walked in last night, we'd had a flash flood, sort of, like a really quick, very heavy downpour in the afternoon, and the drain in my back patio area had clogged... for various reasons.
Huh.
And I came in to find over 12 gallons of water, like about 3 inches deep in my kitchen, bathroom, and all the way into my living room. So when you take the fact that it was already a cluttered mess in here, and then now everything is moved around to A, accommodate a house guest, and B, to try to dry this place out, we look like we're in a storage unit.
We do.
We look like we're recording this in a storage unit, which I just got 4 more packages delivered from Amazon. Now, my best friend, Shigella Rella, who we've had on the podcast before.
Hey, Shag.
Is delivering all this stuff. Why don't we open up and see what some of this stuff is? Why not?
Most of them are little outfits that Pollo can wear.
Yeah, this one. Oh, this one I think is... if I'm not mistaken, we tried this in a different size. So what happens is she finds things that she likes, and then she just starts sending me shit. Oh, yeah, this is like a cute little pantsuit.
Yeah.
It goes this way. It's actually really cute. We tried this on. I tried it on before. It was a little bit too big. So this is the replacement for that cha-cha-cha. We call them cha-cha-chas.
Oh, bitch, you got some cha-cha-chas, you bitch.
She's like, what are you going to cha-cha-cha in tonight? I'm like, I don't know. There's so many cha-cha-chas around here. So that's one. I'll have to sit this out so I can go. Y'all, he's going to be mad.
Better not look at their cha-cha-chas without the FaceTime, bitch. Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's basically a shut-in. She just works and goes home to her roses. And she lives vicariously through my cha-cha-chas. So I'm supposed to open this stuff, technically, with her on FaceTime.
That didn't happen.
Sorry about it, Shags.
Better not look at their cha-cha-chas without the FaceTime, bitch. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, we had ordered... This is like a little dress with some straps. We'd ordered this in a different color and we didn't like it. But I love this blue. It's like a royal blue, which you'll be seeing a lot of on me lately. We'll have to find out. Feel the fabric. It's like very... The fabric feels old lady to me.
A little bit.
So I'm not sure how I'm going to think of that, but I love the color. Y'all are like, what in the hell did I sign up for here? Welcome to delivery time with Pollo and Pearl.
Right, seriously.
But...
This one has a little belt with it.
Yeah, this one I think...
Cute. Oh, that looks like a...
It actually...
T-shirt with wings.
It's called Bat Wings. It's like... it looks much cuter on than it does.
Okay.
Because it clings to my, you know, my figure. My curves.
Her curve.
My dangerous curves, bitch. Insert the sound of screeching tires.
That one big curve.
The hump on my back.
Right.
Oh, well. Let's see what else. But
that's from a different kind of... Oh.
Oh, this is, I think the same as that burgundy, but it's a blue. We saw this in the blue. It's a...
Girl, she's a triple extra large.
I sure am, y'all.
Go in.
I don't mind admitting that either, because I was telling Pearl, I was like, remember, first of all, this shit was all created in China. You know that, like, their extra large is, like, American
probably.
Medium.
Yeah.
So, because...
But you are not an American medium.
No, I'm not. But, like, sometimes I'm an American extra large, so...
But I believe it.
Like, the fact that this shit is, like, some tiny, tiny Asian lady. I was telling Pearl earlier, there's one of them, it said, you know, like, because a lot of this stuff is ordered through Amazon Prime. I encourage Amazon Prime because one of the reasons that we love it so much, if something comes to you and you... It doesn't fit, or it doesn't look like the way it.
You
think it's going to, or we've had stuff that's actually arrived that, like, I had something that had like a thread that had been pulled in it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So sort of like I was like, nope, got to go back with Amazon Prime. You just throw it back in the box and it goes. But we have a mountain of stuff behind us, and we literally send back just as much.
Oh,
okay. What's this? Y'all are going to be listening to, like, rustling paper. It's like, whatever. Y'all get over it. Sorry that y'all aren't getting so many packages delivered to you. That's what it comes down to. Poor Shags. After she orders me all this stuff, she's going to end up having to hook just to pay her credit card bill.
I love a little white and gold number.
Okay.
Open.
Oh, it's cute. I did not foresee this fitting me in the least.
That is cute.
That's like your size.
It is. Little extra button.
That's like your size.
Let me see it. Oh, there's the back.
That's the front.
Okay, that's cute.
It is cute. I don't foresee it fitting me, and it looks like it would fit Pearl perfectly. So fuck you, because she just was like clowning me for being a 3X, and then she's like, ah, she's a 3X, y'all. And then I'm like, it really does look like it's her size.
Is that the 3X, too?
This was the 3X.
That was not the 3X, girl. This was the 3X.
No, girl. 3X.
Oh, it says it right there. Damn.
Told you. See, it was all well and good. It was a fucking party when I was a 3X. Now she's like, well, okay. But that's the thing, y'all. This stuff is all, like, super tiny. And I'm just like, he's bought me probably 2 months... worth, like, if I did drag every single day of clothes to wear. So.
What is going on there?
It's like a little one-shouldered frill dance dress.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be really cute. Oh, no, it's two-shoulder. But I bet you could duck it in. And be,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a little dance dress. That'd be really cute.
Because you know she dances.
Mitch, I do a happy dance when they deliver these packages. That's what the dancing is. Ooh, come through, fish scales. These look like tights. I don't know what it is. It's like something really tiny. Like
tights, that's cute.
Like,
and if they don't fit you, I might.
Oh, it's a nope, not a tight.
It's a dress.
It's a full-on dress.
Those would be cute tights.
Sure would be. They'd be cuter tights than this dress.
They would.
Come through, green fish scales. I'll have to see what I think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a cute print.
It is a cute print, and the color's pretty.
It is.
Anyway, so back to the podcast, y'all. We got disrupted. We might as well do that. So, but that has been my life. Every day I get new packages delivered. I'm supposed to FaceTime Shigella so that she feels like connected to the real world because she's doesn't leave her house. It's just her and the cats and the roses.
Ouch.
But
everybody in there too, girl.
Yeah. Well, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you got into a lot this weekend.
In general. And then the house situation and the flooding situation. Yeah, this weekend was very busy. I did RuPaul's Drag Race viewing party on Thursday. We will get into that, y'all. We are down to the final four on RuPaul's All-Stars Drag Race. We will get into that later on in this episode. Then Friday, I don't even remember what Friday I did Ginger's downtown.
Uh-huh.
Then Saturday morning, I opened the box office for Peaches Christ for Drag Becomes Her with Jinx Monsoon and Ben de la Creme.
Uh-huh. That looked exciting.
And, well, I didn't watch the show, but people were losing their mind in the audience.
I've seen a lot of great feedback.
The reviews on the show were stellar.
Yeah.
And they are going on tour with it. That was, I opened the box office, then I ran over to Lookout and did the brunch show with Carney, Bianca Simone, and Ruby Red Monroe. And then I went back to, you know, finish doing the box office till closing time for the 8 o'clock show. Then on Sunday, now, girls, Sunday, I was beside myself because I did not have shit on my calendar that day.
All right.
And I sure did, like, A, sleep in. And then B, I got up and went to the Eagle and spent all day at the Eagle just being a boy.
All right.
Like, just being myself. And it was lovely.
I love the Eagle. The Eagle is I always feel so, I don't feel excluded or anything when I'm at the Eagle.
The Eagle is very, I feel like the Eagle is so inclusive. Like the leather community is there. Like boys from the Castro are there. The girls are there.
Right.
And by the girls, I mean a lot of girls who do drag, out of drag. They're mingling around there, chilling. The trans girls are there. The trans community is very much part of the leather community. So many people within the leather community are members of the trans community as well. And you know, this I did not know, but apparently on Sunday nights at the Eagle, they have a drag show, too.
I knew they had drag shows sometimes. I didn't know it was like a weekly thing.
I don't know if it is weekly or not, but this particular Sunday, last Sunday, they were setting up for the drag show, and I was very impressed. They have like this cute little kind of backdrop that comes out and like little curtains that go up. And I did see, I don't know any of the performers necessarily who were there, but I saw Suppository Spelling is one of the DJs or is the DJ. Nice. And so, yeah, it was really cute. I would have stayed longer to check it out, but again, Shigella had, while I was out, all these, apparently Amazon Prime also delivers on Sundays.
They do.
And I got all these packages delivered, and Shigella was like hitting me up like, when are you going to go home and show me your new cha-cha-chas? And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, fine, bitch, I'll do it. She's all like,
when are you going to go home? I can't.
I'm telling you, she lives for it. She's like sitting there waiting. She's like, girl, are you home yet? What's wrong with you, bitch? Cha-cha-cha home to try on your new cha-cha-chas.
Oh my God.
You better cha-cha-cha, bitch.
Right.
So anyway, I ended up coming home. I did not stay for the drag show, but it looked like a really cute little thing set up. It was nice. It was cute how it made the transition from like afternoon leather and, you know, beer bust and then into the drag show in the evening. It was a really little cute transition. So that's how I spent my weekend. And then Girl, Pearl's phone is going off.
My phone is going off. While she's telling you about that, let me go fix that.
Hold on. We'll let Pearl do this. Anyway, Monday I ended up going over to El Toro. I had a business meeting with Jeffrey Walkman from Divas Royale, New York. He's in town visiting, and he's going to be working with some stuff on the West Coast. And then I went and met with George at El Toro nightclub, which is sort of like becoming my new home base. And they're going to be doing some renovations. I'm like, I guess I'm such a diva that I went in there. I was like, I need this stage fixed. I need this and this fixed. So that is, by the way, where my Emperor Leandro Gonzalez and I will be doing our investiture.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be on Thursday, April 12th. We ended up choosing a Thursday, a weeknight, because weekends are so difficult to, you know. But it's going to be, we've chosen our theme and everything. It's going to be called, instead of investiture, it's going to be Investiture, Restiture.
Are you going to make it like a wrestling?
It's going to be Lucha Libre themed.
Oh my goodness.
And he's already bought his Lucha Libre mask for the event. And I don't know what I'm going to, I'll be dressed up.
He probably already had one.
No, he did, but I think he went and got one special. He got like with his Emperor colors and whatever.
Cute. I know he is just so stoked. He's got to be so excited.
Honey, he is adorable. I just love him. He, like, girl, if I had a man that was half as attentive as my emperor is, I'd be married by now. He wakes me up in the morning. Hi, hon. How are you?
How was your day?
And then, like, before I go to bed, he's like, I'll talk to you tomorrow, sweetie. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, very attentive, very excited. He is actually leaving this week. He is going to Salem, Oregon for his first out-of-town coronation.
Oh, are you going?
I'm not. I'm in town this weekend, attending to some things. So he had gone to college in that area.
Uh-huh.
So he's sort of going home. It's like a home trip for him.
Yeah.
And he and Angelina Josephina Manicotti, who is also an empress of San Francisco from almost 10 years ago now. God, I can't believe it's been that long ago. So I think she was Empress 43. She and he are going up to Salem. It'll be his first out-of-town walk as emperor, much like my trip to Long Beach was my first out-of-town walk as empress. By the way, we did not talk about that. My trip to Long Beach was bomb. It was so much fun. And I wanted to snatch the hair right off Paloma Villari's head that she was wearing when she got crowned.
Oh.
It was lovely. I loved it.
She is a...
A water buffalo? I know. That's why I wanted the so wig. Terrible. I was like, that water buffalo does not deserve to have that beautiful hair on her back.
She's a former duchess.
She is. She's a past grand duchess. She's now empress of Long Beach.
Does she live out there?
She did. Does. She and her husband, my Uncle Greg, shout out to Auntie Paloma, Tia Paloma, and Uncle Greg. They've lived down in Long Beach probably like almost 5 years.
Oh, that's what I never knew she moved.
Yeah, that's why we barely see her anymore. She's not around. She lives down there, and the courts of Long Beach are the court people down there are so much fun. Like, I know the president of the board. I think she's the president of the board. Her name is Brenda Little. They call her Brenda Little Red. She lived in San Jose. She was an empress in San Jose when San Jose had an imperial court. Uh-huh. And her older brother, her drag name was Big Red. And when Brenda came into the court, she was Brenda Little Red. Big Red and Little Red.
Uh-huh.
And now she's like really, really involved down there in their court system. And it was lovely to see her. And oh my God, I made so many friends. I wanted to give a shout out to Devlin Phoenix, who's Miss Gay Portland. She was probably my favorite new person that I met down there. We hung out a lot and she was lovely. And I stayed on the Queen. Oh my God, I forgot. I stayed on the Queen Mary, the famous cruise liner.
Okay, sickening.
I stayed with Mad Dog 2020 and Miss Shugana, the Grand Duke and Grand Duchess. And they had reserved a hotel room on the historic Queen Mary. And it was really cool because you're staying in these real cabins that, like, way back in the day, like, really, really rich people would sail in. And
that had to be so much fun staying with them.
It was fun staying with them. We had a lot of fun on that trip, and at one point, they kidnapped my crown, and they were like, "We're waiting for you to see how long she was missing," because she had her own spot. I let her sleep on the pillow.
Oh my goodness! I would notice as soon as my crown is missing, I would know.
Well, she was up on a shelf when they removed her, and so I was like, "How long? Wait a minute, where is she?" They're like, "We're holding her hostage for ransom." I was like, "Good luck, bitch. I'm going to tear this place apart until I find my crown." But we had a lovely time down there. And I think you would have had a blast, honestly, because they do this bar crawl, like a bus bar crawl.
Uh-huh.
And it was bomb AF. It's like $30 to get on the bus, but it was so worth it. I had so much fun with those people. Ruby Red Monroe, just so people know, Miss Gay San Francisco, Ruby Red Monroe is a drunken whore. Just a drunken whore, and that's all I will say about that. Ruby, I got your number, bitch. I see you. I see you for the intoxicated slut that you are.
Yeah, girl.
I've
seen a lot of stuff online lately about her being a hoe.
Well, I don't know if she was really a hoe, but she was certainly a drunk. Damn. But we were the life of that bus. We were an hour into the bus trip after, like, maybe the second bar, and people were like, "I heard a rumor that you don't drink." And I was like, "I don't drink." And they're like, "You're this crazy sober?" And I was like, "Which is why I don't drink, because, bitch, I have, like, a few cocktails, and I go off the rails. I'm already crazier than you people are to begin with. I'm already wilder and crazier and just more off the hook. So put some drinks in me, and it's all bad, and I'll probably get arrested."
And how much did you say that trip was? The
bus ride was like $30.
Oh, and that's not that bad at all.
No, like it picked us up at the host hotel, and then we went to 5 locations.
That itself is more than a Lyft, you know, would cover your Lyft costs if you were gonna.
Plus, if you were on the bus, you got free Jello shots. That's why everybody was so wasted. Everybody was getting free Jello shots. And all kinds of people had snuck up flasks and straight up bottles of booze in their purse and everything.
Oh my God.
Girl, it was a mess. But it was really fun. There were some local people that I went down, that were down there at the same time, that I felt like I came back knowing them much better, like Emma Peel.
Uh-huh.
And another Empress of San Francisco, Emma Peel. I drove down with Miss Sugana and Mad Dog, and then Terrell Grimes, who's the Imperial Crown Prince, wanted to stay longer, and I wanted to leave earlier because I had to do the port bar that evening.
Mm-hmm.
So we swapped out our cars, and I ended up riding back with, like, Misty Blue and John Carrillo, who are very, very high up in the Imperial Organization. The Imperial Organization is very hierarchical, and Nicole the Great, who we've had on the podcast before, mm-hmm. is the top of it, and then they name people who are, like, in order of succession. So, like, say something happened to her, like... Mm-hmm. Whatever. So, like, John Carrillo is second in line, and, like, Misty, I want to say, is, like, fifth in line. So I rode back with them and Renita Valdez and Anita Hero, who is our current reigning Miss Golden Gate. Just lovely. I just had a wonderful time. And I love Anita Hero. I do. I love mm-hmm. her. She's... do you know her?
No, I've never heard of it, but that name is sickening.
She's adorable. She's been doing drag probably, like, only maybe 6 months. She started and then ran for Miss Golden Gate. But she is really beautiful already. And it's just one of those things where you can tell she still has the look of a baby drag queen.
But, is she younger?
She is. She's like maybe 25, maybe 25. She's quite young. But I can tell that there's big things ahead for her. She's going to just continue to get more beautiful as she, like as her drag becomes more polished. She has a wonderful wardrobe. I'm assuming, I think Sabaline is her mom, I think.
Oh, okay. I've heard of Sabaline. That's another one I haven't met.
Oh, my gosh. So, Sabaline, also another Empress of San Francisco.
I've heard all about her, and I've seen pictures.
She's... Sabaline is a lovely person. She and Frankie Fernandez are partnered. They're husbands. And they reign together as Emperor and Empress of San Francisco. And Frankie was also an Emperor of San Jose back in the day. Anyway, y'all, this is all technical information. The point of this story, really, is that I had a lovely time representing San Francisco as Empress down in Long Beach. It was so much fun. I mean, just so much fun. Very, very nice people. Oh, and I won an award. Hey.
Come through. What is it for?
I don't have it here, but every time you go to a coronation, or maybe not every time, but often when you go to a coronation, they will hold sort of like a fundraising contest for the incoming new emperor and empress. Uh-huh. And the contest is they have all the reigning monarchs, all the reigning emperors and empresses of other cities around the country, when they'll give you a bag, and like whoever raises the most money during the course of the weekend gets like an unofficial title. So in Long Beach, the title was the King and Queen of the Queen Mary. And okay. So I was crowned the Queen of the Queen Mary, which was ironic because I was actually staying on it. And they gave me a cute little crown, which I forgot in the car, Mad Dog's car, so it's still a Mad Dog's car. But here in San Francisco, for example, we did something similar our coronation weekend, and it was the Emperor and Empress of Alcatraz.
Oh, that's cute.
So, and then in Alaska, they have, like, I don't know, King and Queen of the Glacier or something. I don't know.
Not the glacier.
I don't know what it is, but yeah. So it's the thing. It's a fundraising thing. And I ended up raising almost 25% of the money total, because I had no idea that
how much was it?
Like, I raised like $300 in 24 hours.
That's sickening.
And I think the total was like $1,300. So, girl, that was let me tell you, the success that I had was specifically due to the fact that I did not drink, because everybody else was drinking and like getting a little tipsy, right, and they were forgetting what they had to do. And I was like, every time I'd see bitches getting drunker and drunker, I'd be like, give me a dollar, please. And they'd be like, I think I gave you one earlier. I'd be like, you did, but another one, you surely could give me another dollar.
You are such a mess.
Bitch.
I love it if you went, but if that's how you did it, girl.
Girl, I plan to win a little crown in every town, bitch.
I live.
So, Boise. Oh, by the way, the girls from Boise, Idaho reached out, and they were so grateful. Mm-hmm. Martini, the toast of the town.
That's so cute. That is so cute. Martini, the toast of the town.
Yes, girl. That's her name. Martini, the toast of the town. She said, I thought it was so sweet. She sent me a message on Facebook. We heard your podcast, and Minerva and Jackie Blue, and I just thought it was so sweet that you gave us a shout out on your podcast and acknowledged how much fun we all had together. It was a joy meeting you. Uh-huh. And so, well, first, Martini and girls, Jackie Blue and such, thank you for listening to the podcast, first of all. And second of all, I will be coming to see you guys in July, I think it is, because I am not missing that. I'm not missing Boise's coronation. Those girls are so much fun.
That's sickening. So then where do you go next?
Okay, so we are looking at getting tickets to go to New York coronation.
Oh.
But that's coming up really fast. That's like the first week of April. And then the end of April is Sacramento coronation, which I will be attending, but it's not just Sacramento coronation. They have the Imperial Courts system, the Imperial Council system has what's called the Jose Honors Awards, uh-huh, named after the founder of the system, Jose Saria. And what it does is it recognizes, I think, I want to say like 5 people each year who've had historic or unprecedented impact in the organization.
Okay.
And so this year I know that Nathan Page, do you know Nathan Page?
He sounds familiar.
Nathan Page is married to Empress Tiger Lily.
Oh, I know. I know of him.
So Nathan has never been an emperor. And this is like, goes back to the point you made a couple weeks ago. Like, you can have such a huge impact without ever being an emperor or an empress. Nathan has never been an emperor, but he has been part of that organization for so long and has had such an instrumental impact. He's one of the deciding factors when I was thinking about running for empress. I was like, okay, I love working with Nathan. I look forward to this opportunity to work with him for a year. So that was a definite, uh-huh, you know, check in the pros list.
Perfect.
He is winning one of the Jose Honors, and Empress Galilea is winning one as well for her dedication.
I love Galilea.
Do you? Like, mm-hmm. I really have never had a lot of interaction with her until the last year or so. I mean, Galilea hosted her own long-running show at Marlena's Bar in Hayes Valley here in San Francisco. She's an empress. She's a former Miss Gay San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think I'm actually confusing her with Miss Gladys Bumps.
Okay. Yes. Probably so. Now, Gladys is like, Galilea is a little bit older. Gladys is like Galilea's grandmother old.
Oh, well.
Girl, now, Gladys is like pushing 80,
bitch.
I love
Gladys, though. Gladys is everything.
Gladys and Keith Bumps, girl, they are everything. But, no, Galilea is... You probably remember at the memorial that we attended for Patrice, Galilea was the one who spoke. Stephen Dorsey introduced her, and she spoke for a little bit. She is... In her day life, she is a funeral director. And oh, wow. So she was handling all of the responsibilities as executor of Patrice's estate, basically, and as well as her funeral arrangements. And
oh, that's right. But she was also her best friend.
Yes, they were best friends, and they had been best friends for years and years. So, and Galilea will be working with me during my time as Empress because she is the person who is the... Basically, she keeps the books for the court system. Mm-hmm. So, girl, we went over the finances. We went over how to, like, I've been just on the go. So, anyway, enough about me. Pearl, what's been going on with you, queen?
This weekend, I was supposed to work, but that ended up not happening. That's a long story, but I'm not going to get into it. So, what I did do is, girl, I made it a weekend, a date weekend. I had two different dates. Over the two different days through the weekend. And so, you guys, I've joined up with one of the hoe apps.
She's on a hoe app, y'all.
I am. I'm not just on, you know. I decided to try out Tinder, which is a swipe app. And a swipe app I consider to be a hoe app.
Okay, Tinder is not, in my mind, necessarily a hoe app. Because the profiles tend to have more information about the people.
If people
choose to have it, you have... Like, this is the difference. Other apps don't even give you that option. Tinder and a few other apps allow you... Yes, it's a swipe thing.
I don't know. I feel like you could probably put as much information on Tinder as you could on Grindr.
Well, I think the difference is I think more people are more apt to read them on Tinder. I have the same information on every app.
Really?
Ho app or not. Huh. I have a lot of information on mine, and I'm swiping and blocking and whatever, but I'm still, like, I'm very particular.
And it's been interesting. Like, I've met a couple people off of it. I think the good thing, I think, about Tinder, I will say, is that people are a little more direct and upfront with what they are looking for, which is nice.
Is it sex that they're looking for?
Some people, you know, but people
or
are...
Is that what you're saying they're upfront about, that they're looking for? Or are they more upfront about looking for something, like, more substantial than that?
Whatever. Like, whatever it is they're looking for, people are more upfront about it instead of beating around the bush. Like, other apps I tend to find.
I don't know. I think that, like, on Grindr, if you're on Grindr...
Well, I'm not on Grindr.
No, I know, but, like, I think that what I'm saying is, like... Comparing the two, for example, if you're on Grindr, there's at least the undercurrent that sex is a probability.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what I assumed on Tinder. Thankfully, it's not necessarily like that.
Again, you guys, my personal philosophy about any of these apps or anything else is that any experience that you have is only as ho-ish as you allow it to be. Because... Yeah. You know, it is like a cliche that guys on Grindr, before they even, you'll like get bling, 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 and you look and there's five messages from them. And before they've even said hello, they've shown you like the inside of their cervix.
Right.
You know, you're seeing you're able to count the HPV.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, it's good that they're like, well, I see that you've recently been treated for your HPV or your anus looks to be clean in this photograph. But at the same time, my philosophy on all of these things is, like, if somebody approaches me that way, and that's not how I want to be approached, girl, I don't have to interact.
Right.
So it's like, okay, you're wasting your time. There's a lot of that happening on Grindr. I get pictures of all kinds of things, and I just move on, like, either block or just delete the message and don't respond. But it's nicer to, like, OkCupid or Tinder.
Yeah.
Or something where you can get a little more information. And doesn't Tinder also allow you to see, like, five pictures?
Yeah, you have... It's something like that. You have, like, five or six pictures. But OkCupid, you have... I feel like you can put a lot more information on something like
that. I like OkCupid, but somehow I got myself locked out of the app and I can't get back in. So I'm like, well, haven't been on there in months.
Shit.
And I was meeting a lot of attractive... My favorite thing always, honestly... was to go on all the Ho apps and cross-reference people.
Oh, no.
Be like, okay, on OkCupid, he says XYZ, but on Scruff, he says this, and on Adam for Adam, he said that.
Yeah, see, people use different apps for different things.
But I'm like, but I use all of them to figure out, like, a kind of, like, whether the person is being honest about shit.
Right.
Like, some of the stuff that people misrepresent is, to me, unacceptable. Like, people will misrepresent HIV status.
That's not okay.
I mean, that's not okay. And now, because PrEP is so becoming so prevalent, and
people are lying about being on PrEP.
Well, people are. I'm not saying that this is happening a lot necessarily, but I've seen numerous instances of people whose status I do know, and I know them to be HIV positive, and they say that they're negative and on PrEP.
What?
Yes, and
that's terrible.
It's terrible because it's dishonest. But what science is proving right now that if an individual is on PrEP and another individual is HIV positive and undetectable on medication, the combination of both of them being on the medication prevents transmission.
And but bitch, you should still not be lying.
Absolutely correct. Like I did not want anybody to take that piece of information and make it seem as if I was supporting people lying about their status. What I'm saying is that because of that development scientifically, that if an individual's on PrEP and an individual's HIV positive and undetectable and maintaining a consistent medication regimen, that you cannot transmit. People who have internalized shame about their HIV status are kind of justifying not being open and honest. And to me, that's unacceptable on a lot of different levels, not the least of which is that every sexual partner should know your status, number one. But the other part being that if, in fact, something comes of it that's more than just sexual between you and the person, how are you going to, like, explain to somebody, like, when you start dating them, oh, by the way, I've been actually lying to you, and I've removed your option of choice in our sexual relationship. And, girl, if that...
Devastating, girl.
If it happened to me, I would just be like, well, that means that you could probably and possibly be lying about every single thing else you've told me.
Because that's huge.
You've got to go.
Got to go.
So, anyway, I'm glad that you joined the Sorry, kids, I've been also battling a cold. I'm glad you joined the Ho-Apps, and it's doing well for you.
Oh, girl, it's doing quite well. Like, my phone blowing up, all that is Ho-App-ness over there. It's going off.
Girl. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, you guys, today we're actually recording this a little bit earlier than usual because Pearl's actual partner, you all know that she's polyglamorous, y'all.
You know.
Her primary partner...
I don't like the word primary, but my partner, who I've been... Well, my only partner right now. My only actual partner.
So her partner was eating some cheap food from Safeway.
Right.
And he's...
Knowing damn well he's allergic to shellfish.
So she's allergic to shellfish and ate something that had, like, some crab in it or whatever. Bitch ended up in an ambulance. Pearl had to race from work.
Right.
So...
And luckily, Poyo was there, so...
It was a stroke of luck because Pearl called me and was like, girl, we might have to cancel. Felix is having, like, you know, anaphylactic shock or whatever it's called. At Walgreens, and I happened to be, like, half a block away, so I just rushed over there to, like, you know... I just wanted him to know that, like, that's scary, you know what I mean? To be in a, you know, I just wanted him to know, like, I can't do anything, but I'm here.
Yeah, you should have seen the text messages I was getting beforehand. It sounded like he was scared.
Yeah, I mean, anybody in that case would be, because most of the time when you have an allergic reaction to food... It affects your ability to speak, and it cuts off your windpipe, and, like...
You can't breathe.
Yeah, that's what it usually does. It shuts off your ability to breathe. So I'm sure she was... and I keep saying she, because her partner, Felix, also performs as Brenda Buttons. Mm-hmm. They're like a kai-kai relationship, too. But anyway, so Felix, I'm sure he was scared. I'd be scared if all of a sudden I couldn't breathe.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
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 But, listeners, it turns out that she was... It was all just a promotional publicity stunt just to get her name mentioned on this podcast.
Right. Just a mess. No.
No, but she's fine.
It
home resting, hopefully.
Yeah. A mess, girl.
Poor baby.
Hopefully he learned to leave anything crab, shrimp related alone.
I said, look at this, bitch. Most people get crabs and they just start itching. Brenda Buttons gets a little bit of crabs. Next thing you know, she's in a
fucking ambulance.
Ambulance, bitch. Laid up.
But, so that happens. And, yeah.
So that happened, she said. But it actually, sure did.
But before this weekend, Felix moved into his new place. So I've been cleaning out more things in my place and rearranging furniture and getting new furniture. So
he was living in your place with you, right?
He stayed with me for about a year because he moved to Rhode Island for a year and then came back and ended up staying with me. And he stayed with me for a long time for a number of different reasons. One being right when he got back was around the time I was getting breast augmentation. So I needed someone to stay for like recovery and...
Yeah, he showed up for you emotionally and physically. And now, and also, presumably, because this city's expensive as fuck and it probably took him a little while to get on his feet financially after moving back here, it's very beneficial that he was able to stay with you. And I'm sure that it also...
helped me in some kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he's finally moved out. I've got my girl. I could just twirl around in my house without worrying about running into somebody else's stuff. It is so nice to have my space back.
So is it just you and your brother now there?
And Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, cool.
I'm trying to think. The last time you were there...
Girl, last time I was there, you had AJ on the couch.
Yeah.
Your brother just moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I say the last time. Girl, the only time I've ever been there.
Right.
AJ was on the couch, which was a damn shame because... I would have been on that couch with him because he was kind of cute. He is kind of cute.
His birthday was actually last week, speaking of AJ.
So.
And that's another thing I did this weekend. It was also Jesus, a.k.a. Royalties' birthday.
Yeah.
So we hung out before his birthday celebration, and then we hung out again last night with a group of his friends. And I have been busy seeing a bunch of friends and stuff lately.
It's nice when you, like... I mean, when we're working, you guys, we're out in nightclubs and stuff, so we get to see our friends and acquaintances, but it's a little different because you're distracted because you're trying to work and you're running back and forth doing shows, and you can kiki, but you can't really focus.
It's not like you're there focus. Hanging out fun with your friends. It's not that at all.
Yeah, it's not the point. You have a purpose.
And it was so weird because it was at he had a bunch of his friends come out to the Edge for Musical Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
With our girl, Brian Kent. She was DJing last
night. I love DJ Brian Kent. She's fun.
But it was just weird being out in the Castro, not in performance gear and...
just chilling.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was a trip. That was my weekend. That was my weekend, and it sounds like this weekend will be a little bit more of that before next weekend, because next weekend is... my step down, so I will be back out in Seattle.
Oh, very nice. Off to Seattle for Miss Premier International.
Yeah, the next queen. I'm excited to see the next ho is going to take this crown, but I have so much to do.
Have they already announced who's competing? Like anybody we know?
Nope. I mean, I think I might know a few people, but the thing is, you never know until the day of registration.
Oh, okay.
You never know, girl.
Girl, that's crazy. Most of the time, these things have to turn your shit in advance.
That's not always true. I mean, because even for Miss Gay United States, cutoff is registration.
I guess. I mean, all right, you guys. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to catch you up on the last two episodes of RuPaul's All-Stars Drag Race, including the most jaw-dropping elimination in Drag Race history.
Gagged.
It might even have outdone Willem puking off the side of the stage when she got the boot for cheating. So
it definitely gagged me, girl. I was shook, bitch. I think everybody was shook.
So we will be back with that and our interview with Vicki Lawrence. A quick reminder, Vicki Lawrence is coming to the Castro Theater here in San Francisco this Saturday, St. Patrick's Day, for one show only, 8 p.m. You can find out more at oasissf.com, where you can get tickets for that, or just Google Vicki Lawrence in San Francisco.
And you know that's sure to come up.
You are listening to Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Delmar.
And I'm Pearl T.
We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Delta Work, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl, brought to you by Left Magazine.
Hey guys, I'm John Nick, and we're Super Crew, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
To stay up to date on queer nightlife in Australia, follow GuideToGay.com on social media. It's Guide to Gay on Twitter and Facebook, or visit them online at GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio. We are back with more Party Foul Radio. I am Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl T.
Pearl was on her hoe apps while I was in the ladies' room.
She's right.
She was. I saw her. She was all like, swipe, swipe, swipe. Anyway, we are now going to recap the last two episodes of RuPaul's All-Stars Drag Race Season 3. I'm not even going to put in a spoiler alert because we're a week behind. So, girl, if you haven't watched it, sorry about your damn luck. I don't know how much time you need to catch up, bitch.
Because we are coming up on the finale this week, girl.
This week is the finale, and we'll see who wins. But, so 2 weeks ago was probably the single most shocking elimination in Drag Race history.
Girl, gagged.
Yes. In the finale of the show, I don't even remember the circumstances leading up to it, but we will just cut to the chase. In the finals, it was Bibi Zaharie-Benay lip-syncing for her legacy against Ben de la Creme.
Right.
And Ben de la Creme ends up winning. Now, she had the option of choosing either Shangela, Kennedy Davenport, or Trixie to go home.
And the option to bring back one of the old contestants.
Yes, she had the opportunity to bring back one of the former contestants to give a brand new face into the top five.
Right.
So, as it turns out, Bendela wins her lip sync for her legacy, and when they ask who she's going to send home, she's like, oh, well, Kennedy wants it so bad, I couldn't send her home.
Right.
And Trixie just belongs here, that's obvious, and Shangela's just been killing it. So, I've never had an easier choice to make in my life.
Girl, when she said that, I thought she was going to be shady. I thought she was about to be shady and was just waiting to send somebody home. And girl, my heart was about to stop. But she was like, I'm sending myself home.
She sent herself home. They show her, like, pulling out a lipstick and whiting out the name that was on it and writing her name over top of it. The look on Michelle and RuPaul's face when she sent herself home.
Girl, cracked.
Yes.
They was cracked. I was cracked. Everybody was cracked.
Everybody was shocked. It was quite obvious that RuPaul probably did not expect this turn of events.
Oh, no, she didn't, bitch. And that's for sure. That's real.
And so she was like she was also pissed.
I think she was. She probably was, too.
But as it turns out, she chooses to send herself home. Now, first and foremost, that decision was crazy. But I felt like, I really feel strongly that Kennedy should have gone home several episodes ago at this point. I feel
the same way, though, about Trixie also.
Well, I feel like Trixie is finally starting to hit her stride.
But I feel like she should have been home before that stride even hit.
Yeah, I think that she's hitting her stride, but I just don't think that it's not impressing me any. I'll tell you that. Right. I have not been impressed by Trixie. I've not been impressed by Trixie. Not at all this season, not once.
Right.
And when they had her win a few episodes ago during the Andy Warhol challenge,
The disco,
I felt that was absurd because right. I felt she looked like a basic bitch in a tracksuit.
She did.
And they were like, oh my God, this is so, I just love it. Well, they were just blowing her spot up. But like, so Bendela, to me, the elimination would have been easy because Kennedy, you want to be here, bitch, but I'm sorry. Like, everybody wants to be here.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you should be here.
Yeah.
Like, there's girls who've never even been cast on All Stars that want to be there.
Right.
They're not either. So, I feel like, God bless her, but Kennedy should have gone home. I feel like Kennedy's time on this show has exceeded its expiration date.
Girl, I was guessing the next episode, they were trying to ask Bibi whose lipstick she had. And she was like, I would rather just not talk about it out of respect for Ben. Girl, you know she's playing.
So, well, they did on the next episode ask BB who she would have sent home had she won. Well, first of all, in my opinion, watching that lip sync, because Ben is not that great of a lip syncer.
Right.
And for BB to, like, not have won the lip sync, I don't think BB wanted to win. I think BB was like...
No, she took off her wig.
I think she was like, I think I'll just let this bitch win, and then I don't have to do any of the dirty work.
I think she was doing great until she took her wig off.
Remember, Aja was like, you are not...
Right.
She's like, you are not Sasha Velour. I don't see any rose petals. I don't see anything... Blah, blah. And I thought what it was... I thought it was just about, like the idea of a black woman being so upset or whatever, you know, like, they're, like, they take off their hair sometimes.
Oh, no. Well,
that's how I interpret it.
If there was still some illusion under there, she had a boy's haircut underneath that wig.
I think it would have been even better if her hair was just straight up nappy and, like, all, like, a fright, and she'd have been like,
Whoa. If it was a fro, you know, that would have still been fine, but it wasn't even a fro.
Or a nappy processed hair.
Or if it was completely bald, you know?
Yeah, so Bendela ends up sending herself home, and we're going to come back, we're going to circle back to that, because there's, her motives for doing so have been a big topic on the internet.
So but, she brings back Morgan McMichael.
Right, she brought back Morgan, saying that she felt like, of all the queens on the show, she is the one we had not had the opportunity to see as much from.
Right.
And she deserved to be there. Now, I felt that that was an appropriate decision. She's also who I would have brought back from all those girls.
I, you know what? I could see that, but I thought it was very inappropriate because there were, like, what, five challenges that she, homegirl, has missed. And we're just going to bring back a girl who was eliminated the very first... No, I thought it should have gone to Aja. And I'm not even, like, a big Aja fan. I just thought it clearly should have been her since she was just eliminated. She's been there with these girls the entire time and has put her work, you know, in.
Right. But, so, I can definitely understand that perspective. But what Ben had to say about Morgan, I felt, was also very true. We didn't have a chance to see what she could have offered had she been allowed to, like, the chance to kind of show herself. And I also, as just a viewer of the show, I always get sick of these things where somebody goes home and then, like, they get brought right back or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we'd already seen again. I felt like Aja was in the similar boat to what I feel Kennedy was, like, where we've already seen probably the best of what you're going to offer. You just got sent home, and so if you get to choose between somebody who has proven that they are not up to par with the people who are already there versus somebody like Morgan who did not have a chance to prove anything really on the show, I would have gone with the unknown commodity too. It's like, do I choose behind what's behind door number one or number two? Well, I know that what's behind door number one isn't very valuable to me, so if I go with door number two... And there's nothing there that's worthwhile. I'm not really out anything. But if I go with what's behind door number two and there's a lot there, then something could be proved. You know, it could be like a surprise. I felt like Morgan had the possibility of offering more. Now, mind you, not to skip ahead too much, but the next episode, I also felt that Morgan ends up going home in the next episode. And I felt like she should not have gone home. I felt like it should have been somebody else. So... But we'll talk about that in a minute. But the internet has been blowing up because people are questioning whether or not the decision that Bendela made to send herself home was because she's such a nice person and she wanted to, she like, you know, just, it had taken, they were like, it took such a toll on her having to send these other girls home and, or, you know, was it that it had taken an emotional toll, or was it like the ultimate publicity stunt to make sure that she's always remembered as like Miss Congeniality of like all time?
The ultimate, either way.
The ultimate, like, I'm so nice that I'll just send myself home. We don't know. We don't know the motivation there any more than we know who it is that BB picked as a lipstick. But
I thought it was, either way, you know, I was gagged, but I still thought it was sickening. She's like, people are always going to say, well, you know, if Ben would have stayed, it would have been her. And that's always going to be a thing now.
I really feel like if I was one of the girls who's still on the show, I would be fucking pissed because I'd be like, you bitch. Because somebody's going to win, and their win is actually undermined by the fact that Ben de la Creme sent herself home.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless
it's Shandala.
Even I think still...
People are still going to try.
It's still going to question... I don't know. I hate to say it, but because we're at the finale episode coming up this week, but I have been really underwhelmed by this season of All Stars.
Really?
I have. I feel like I
was continuously gagged.
Really?
Yeah, I mean with this and then with Milk, girl.
Milk being so bitchy and everything.
So being obnoxious and then how she was sent home. Girl gagged. And I was gagged by Aja's, like, step up into what she's been doing. I feel like it's been, like, a really good season for me.
Well, it's, the thing about what I would say about this, and even about Bendela, and maybe I'm in the distinct minority, I feel like what she has been doing what she was doing before going home was good, but in many ways, it often felt like it was good, but if there was somebody who was, like, actually really good on the show, she mm-hmm. would have been coming in second place. Mm-hmm. Like, I have felt consistently like this cast is missing some kind of star power. Like, I don't know how other to explain it, but on other seasons, there's people who sort of just captivate you,
mm-hmm.
and I have not felt that. Like, the closest I felt of that from this season has been Shangela.
Yeah.
And even with a lot of the stuff that Shangela has done, I felt like if there was somebody who was really strong in the mix, that she would not be... And again, this could probably be argued, some people will probably hear this and be like, well, that could be argued every season. If there was somebody stronger in the mix, then
obviously,
whoever was the front runner would not be the front runner because there'd be somebody stronger. But what I'm saying is that it feels like we have seen people who have been really strong personalities on a lot of seasons. And this season felt like, I don't know, it just always felt like there was just... something short of superstar written on every performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like good, like very, very good, but not superstar. The closest thing, honestly, that I've seen to being something that to me was like, okay, this bitch is pretty genius, or this person really is something, was the lip sync from the next episode. After this, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Okay.
The Shangela lip sync.
Oh my God, that was
so
yeah.
So the point I'm making here is that when they announced the cast, a lot of people's complaint was it felt like there were no superstars mm-hmm. returning, or very few superstars returning for this season of All Stars. Well, I gave it the benefit of the doubt. I felt like Milk could have possibly gone from being this really popular character to, like, this could have been his opportunity to break out as a superstar. Boy, was I wrong.
Right.
Like, I felt like Trixie came on as a very popular crowd favorite and could break out as a superstar. I don't think she's done that.
No.
I think she's remained a very popular personality, and I think that what... I'm discovering from this is that people like Trixie, but whatever it is that people are connecting to with that personality and with her performance doesn't sell to me.
Right.
The person that I have felt, I mean, I did feel Ben is a very strong competitor. I felt that Ben has done very well for herself, but I think that whatever it is that other people connect with doesn't mean as much to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she's a nice person. I think that sometimes she pulls off cute looks, but I've never been, like, sometimes her performances have wowed me. Like, when she was the cougar, I was kind of, like, blown away by that. That was hilarious. But in general, I feel like when she comes down the runway, I don't always feel wowed by her. I don't, you know, I just don't know how to explain it other than to feel like there's not been that one person who comes out of this a more established superstar than they went in.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what I look for on normal seasons. I look for people who seem to grow stronger and stronger as the season goes on. And even with Ben, she was consistent throughout, but I didn't feel that she was getting better. I didn't feel like we were getting more from her. I didn't feel like she was pushing herself to something be bigger. So, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Ultimately, Ben de la Creme goes home and Morgan returns. So, we come back with the new top five for RuPaul's All-Stars Drag Race, which is now down to Kennedy, Trixie, Shangela, Bebe, and Morgan. So, they... What was this week's challenge?
This week's challenge was that acting challenge.
Oh, yes. The acting challenge, my best squirrel friends, whatever. If you happen... If you happen to be a writer for RuPaul's Drag Race, and you are responsible for writing these scripts...
Jesus.
Can you please retire?
Right.
Can you retire from writing? Because these scripts tend to be so fucking bad.
Awful.
They're so bad. And, like, this one, even... I felt like with
it
this...
It was terrible, girl.
I felt like with this script, even the good performances were still so bad because there was nothing redeeming about the script.
Right.
So, Morgan, as a return gift, has allowed the opportunity to assign the roles for this show... to each girl. Now, this is the only area where I felt like Morgan went really, really wrong. She gave herself a role that was horrible. She couldn't pull it off.
Right.
And it was just bad. At the same time, I will say that I still felt that the person who should have gone home this episode was Kennedy.
What was her role?
She was the singing, dancing. She was, her character was based on La La Land.
Yeah.
Like the ingenue who thinks she can sing and dance and whatever. Uh-huh. She did really poorly too. The reason that
they were both pretty bad though.
They were. But I felt like this is where I feel like you... Okay, I would definitely have penalized Morgan because she actually could have chosen any role. And she
could have chosen any role, bitch.
And so, whatever. But
and it was terrible.
They had the runway challenge, which was red for filth. So they were all dressed in various red outfits or whatever. I felt like on the runway, Kennedy looked lovely, but Kennedy to me looked like basically any pageant queen in an evening gown competition. And Morgan's
But it was still sickening.
It was. She looked lovely, but I felt Morgan's was creative and interesting and showed some personality. It was like a little plaid type of outfit.
And it was like one shoulder or one arm. Okay, I didn't like that.
The thing was, like, I didn't particularly love it. I felt like a lot of people did. The judges seemed to really like it.
Uh-huh, they did.
The reason that I was more drawn to it than what Kennedy did is, as I said, Kennedy's outfit felt like there were probably 24 pageant queens out there with that exact same look ready to walk down the runway at any second. It was a red evening gown. It was like... typical pageant updo type of swoop thing.
Right.
Our girl Kipper wears that kind of swirly, curly thing all the time. And the more than anything, at this point, because Morgan is a return... Again, this goes back to what I was saying before. Because Morgan has not had the chance to prove herself over and over, I would have given her the bye in this because of the fact that I would have been more interested to see what she might bring to the table next. Now... you know that nobody's going to return halfway through and actually win.
Right.
She was never going to win this.
Right.
But the chance to move on to the final four would have probably provided a little bit of something interesting for her, from her. The feedback that Kennedy got from the judges, once again, your performance felt like one note. She has received that exact feedback almost every single time they've done any challenge. The only challenge that she hasn't gotten that feedback is the one challenge she won, that when she was the drunken party girl or whatever. Every other time, they're like, it felt one note, and that note wasn't good, and you kept repeating it.
Right.
So, to me, what that tells me is she does not have the ability to A, take the feedback she's getting and incorporate it. B, she has no ability to see that she's only doing one note, which does not bode very well for performance. It's why I believe that when you watch her, she's an incredible performer. But quite often, it feels like if you've seen one of her performances, you've seen all of her performances. It feels like same kind of tempo of music, same sort of stuff. Versus somebody like Morgan, who will serve you a Pink or a Gwen Stefani performance that is very specific to that. Or I just saw her do Bring On the Men from Jekyll and Hyde.
I don't know. Because I know, like, because we've seen that Kennedy is, we all know Kennedy is, like, a high-energy, like, dancing diva. But she's proven that she can do comedy, too. She's fucking hilarious if she wants to
be. If she wants to be, apparently. Yeah. But I just felt like, again, for me, if I've had the chance to see over and over that somebody has received the same feedback almost every challenge, and there's no growth there, I'm going to go with the person who has some growth options and potential. I that's just me. I would have sent... Ultimately, Morgan goes home. Mm-hmm. Did Trixie win this? No. Shangela wins the challenge. And what it comes down to, when they're out there performing, Shangela's got on a fat suit.
She sure does, girl.
Strips off this robe, and I was wondering why she looked so large, and then she strips it off.
Something going on. I knew it was something.
She's wearing a fat suit, and she's like twerking around out there. It was fucking hilarious.
Girl, because she was working it out in this fat suit, girl.
She was, and she was hilarious. And to me, this was one of the few times that on this season when I felt like, okay, this bitch took something to another level.
Right.
Because
everybody was like fucking dying, girl.
The fact that, and this to me is what makes an all-star, that you do not know necessarily what you're going to get from that person.
Right.
I feel like, now, this was one of the best lip syncs I've ever actually seen Trixie Mattel do.
I don't even remember what she was wearing, girl.
I don't remember what she was wearing. I'm talking about, like, the actual lip sync. Her performance was actually quite good. But Shangela was doing the most in that fat suit. To me, like, I feel like what I've gotten from this season is that people like Trixie Mattel. And Trixie Mattel likes Trixie Mattel. And what I mean by that isn't an ego thing. She likes what she presents, and that's all she wants to present. It's just, right. It feels like every time she does something, it's just Trixie Mattel again.
And it all looks the same.
And
it all looks the same to me.
Now, I think that there are times when Shangela also looks the same. I'm like, I wish you could give me something besides that Beyonce type of wig, which, yeah. As a side note, Shangela's Beyonce style of wig is a wig that literally every drag queen I know owns. It's like mm-hmm. a really, really inexpensive wig from hairsisters.com. They had it on sale. You could buy two of them for like $25 for a while. And I personally own like 8 of that wig. So I would love to see her do something a little different in terms of her physical presentation of her face and whatever. But what she brings to the performances and everything is very, very diverse. And it's more so more diverse than what I've seen from anyone mm-hmm. on this season. To me, the star that came out of this season as the biggest growth from what we've known her to be and to where she is now and what we've even seen over the course of the season is by far Shangela. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for somebody who's well-rounded and can do something different every time she steps out there, it's Shangela. Yeah. I think that Trixie can play these little characters or whatever, but often I still feel like it's just Trixie.
She's not even, I don't see much special about her besides she's one shtick.
When it comes down to it, Shangela wins the lip sync and she sends Morgan home. Mm-hmm. Again, this borders on what we've seen time and time and time again, where they bring a queen back and she's sent home almost immediately.
Yeah.
Like, we've yet to ever see, that I can recall, any queen ever brought back onto the show and actually go on to do something good that lasts more than one, maybe two episodes. Mm-hmm. I remember when they brought on Kenya Michaels. Remember they brought her back and she sent her right back home. It's like, why bother?
Same with Carmen Carrera. They brought her back and she was sent home the same episode.
It's like, why bother? You know, so I felt, again, really strongly that for many reasons, I felt like Kennedy should have gone home and Morgan would have stayed. When it comes down to it, as we enter the top four this week, as we go into the finale, it is Kennedy, Bibi, Shangela, and Trixie. If the rumors going around that Trixie won this season are true, I'm going to fucking flip a table.
She better not win. There is no way. I will quit watching the show. For other reasons on top of this, but girl, I will be over it.
I do not feel that Trixie has been consistently good enough to win this show. The only person left on the show who's consistently done stuff that has impressed me is Shangela. And that sounds like favoritism. Maybe because I've worked with her, maybe because I like her, maybe because whatever. But the only person I felt who has consistently wowed
is Shangela, hands down. Yeah. Like, people saw her like coming on this season and were like, well, you know, she's not going to last long or she's not winning. And now that it's actually airing, people are like, okay, well, maybe she might win.
I also think that, like, I like the fact that she's played the game smart. She hasn't been ugly ever.
Right.
She hasn't. I mean, you know, is she Miss Congeniality? I'll send myself home. Fuck no. Like, she's not going to pull a Ben de la Creme stunt.
Right.
And I lean towards the fact that I think it was a publicity stunt. I think if she would have stayed and won, I think they probably get a much longer contract that dips into her abilities to do what she wants if she would have won, too.
Maybe. I don't know.
And I think that...
There's a possibility that she thought that she would have made it to the end but not won, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think that for her to go on and continue to the end and not win would have probably been... I mean, I don't think
she would have done great in this next challenge, you know, the music video.
Maybe, but maybe not. Like, I mean, I don't know. At this point, to me, of the four in the finale, the only one who I really feel strongly that could or should win is Shangela.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie's like first alternate. She just reads like first alternate.
Right.
BB gets an honorable mention. She's gotten to reassert herself as a star.
Right.
And Kennedy's a like, thanks for playing, but you should have gone home like four episodes ago. Like, that is my opinion about the show. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they all, well, yeah. I think it would clearly be Shangela. That would be my pick. I don't really see... I think both Kennedy and Trixie should have been sent home a long time ago. And BB just coasted the entire time.
BB really does feel like she has coasted. People were complaining on the... Like, other competitors were complaining that it felt like BB was just being BB the whole season.
The whole season, yeah.
And in a lot of ways, I think that that's exactly what the purpose was. It was for BB to come back and be BB, so she gets reasserted as this figure within the Drag Race community so that she gets the props that she deserves. Mm-hmm. And at this point, girl, with only a few minor exceptions, most of the people from season one have now been on All Stars. Like, we've gotten...
Chanel
was on...
The first one.
Right, but she was on first All Stars.
Yeah.
As was Tammy Brown, as was Nina Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have BB doing it. So that's 50% of the cast from the first season, because there are only eight girls. The only girls that were missing are Rebecca Glasscock.
Pork Chop.
Jade. Akasha. And Angina.
Yeah. And I would love to see Angina. Angina was... I feel like Angina was like the star of season one, though.
I feel like...
She probably needed the least.
I feel like it would do her incredible amounts of good, though.
Yeah, no, because it would do anybody incredible amounts of good.
But I feel like it would also do the world incredible amounts of good to see the performer that she has also become. Mm-hmm. Because they focused on the fact that she was bald during her season. But more than that, she also presented very ladyboy-like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because her makeup was minimal and all this stuff. She just rested on the fact that she was tiny and petite and very feminine looking just as a male. Mm-hmm. Now she's a full-fledged drag queen who I adore. And I think that she would do well to be able to show some of her talents on an All-Stars and showcase who she's become. Akasha will never be on an All-Stars because Akasha, I don't even think, does drag anymore. Akasha was well-known in the Cleveland drag community for selling drugs, by the way, before she was on the show. Porkchop, I don't think she'll ever be on because I just don't think she will be ever on. Jade, I don't think, as much as we've had her on the show, I like her a lot. She's a great performer, but I don't think she stepped her drag game up enough to be on All Stars.
No, girl.
And
now she's known for doing drugs or selling it.
Is she?
Remember she went, remember we had it on an episode once where the police had, I don't know if they had raided her house or something.
Oh, dear. I don't know.
But it was something about
and then,
something small like marijuana or something.
And then the final one is Rebecca Glasscock, who finished top three on that season, but she barely does drag either anymore. Mm-hmm. And also, her drag has not evolved to stay up to the times or to up her game. So when it comes down to it, the last person from that season who probably is going to deserve a spot is Angina because she has grown and evolved and become something completely different.
Yeah. One would hope.
And eventually, given all the recent controversy around the show, I hope that after we get about one more girl from the show who transitions, maybe they'll make an all-trans cast for All Stars because that then allows for everybody to have the even playing field that they seem to be wanting for people. If there's a lot of girls who've transitioned.
Yeah, since season one. So, I mean, Sonique.
Sonique from season two. Kenya Michaels. Jiggly.
Carmen.
Carmen, of course, like, she would come into it as the front runner, I think, people in people's minds, just because she's the most famous of them who has transitioned. But
she's not the first one. It's Gag.
I don't think she's the most talented either.
No, definitely
not. I mean, we've got.
I mean, Sonique was in the circus, for Christ's sakes. She is incredible. That woman. Anyway.
Other people who've transitioned, Monica Beverly Hills, Peppermint. There's a whole series of performers who have transitioned since being on the show. And I think that it would be really lovely. Gia. Yeah.
Gia would be incredible.
I think it would be really lovely to get to see these girls. Because part of what, you know, the show does talk about wanting is the transformation process. So if you're not necessarily going to get to see the male to female transformation from male to drag, it would be really lovely to allow fans to be reintroduced to these people that they got to know and appreciate during their first season and see that the women that they've become now. Mm-hmm. And I think that it could be very educational, and I think that would be a great way for the Drag Race family to heal itself from within and support the girls. And perhaps do some healing with their relationship with the trans community also.
Hey, girl, because it's fucked up right now.
It is.
And, you know, from all that stuff, I found out that Ben Delacreme's partner is actually trans.
Really? I don't know anything about Ben's personal life, so.
Yeah, he came out and had made a comment about his partner being trans and always being there for the trans community and stuff like that. Girl, your dogs.
It's not the dogs. These upstairs neighbors are fucking really going to town, coming in and out back here every 2 seconds. Anyway, so, yeah, there's a lot of controversy, as you guys know, relating to RuPaul's perspective on inclusion of trans contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race, and it's really been blowing up in the last couple of weeks. So my solution from a marketing and public relations background is, if you do not want to include the opportunity for trans individuals to compete on regular seasons, then you could turn your focus to the existing members of your RuPaul's Drag Race family who have transitioned and allow them to showcase their stories and showcase their art. And I think it would go a long, long way in healing that relationship.
Yeah, but I think RuPaul's already gone back on his word and has tried to apologize to the trans community. So I think it's setting up for a trans contestant on season 11.
Well, we will see. I'm going to tell you, this is an unpopular opinion. I do not disagree with the fact that while drag is a huge umbrella, if you want this show to be apples and apples, then as best you can, then everybody should be male presenting and do drag.
Yeah, I obviously don't agree with that. I mean, trans performers have been around before RuPaul himself, and if it wasn't for trans women, RuPaul wouldn't have the platform that he has today. And that's just my opinion on that. But we'll see. We'll see where they're willing to take the show.
And that we'll be finding out more. I mean, they just cast season 11, or they're in the process right now because the casting call ended last weekend.
Yeah.
Good luck to all the girls out there who certainly applied. I know, there's a few locals who've been, blowing up social media, with their hashtag World of Wonder, hashtag mm-hmm. RuPaul, hashtag this and that. Girl, I didn't bother. I have other shit going on right now, and my plate is completely full with other projects, so I didn't even... I took one look at it and was like, yeah, maybe next year when I'm 100 years old. Mm-hmm. But not now when I'm 99. All right, you guys. Let us take another break. That was our recap of the last two episodes of RuPaul's All-Stars Drag Race. We will be back, of course, next episode to talk about the winner of this season. Pearl and I seem to be in 100% agreement that we think it should be Shangela.
Team Shangela, girl.
Team Shangela all the way from here at Party Foul Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have with us comedic icon Miss Vicki Lawrence on this episode of Party Foul Radio.
To never miss an episode of Party Foul Radio or any of our online antics, follow Party Foul Radio on Facebook and Twitter. That's at Party Foul Radio. Follow Pollo Del Mar. That's me, Pollo Del Mar. At The Glamazon PDM on Twitter, The Glamazon. And follow Pearl Tees. That's your girl, Pearl. At Pearl Tees. That's T-E-E-S-E, Pearl Tees on Twitter. You're listening to episode 104 of Party Foul Radio.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson. I'm hanging out with Party Foul Radio.
Left Magazine is San Francisco and Northern California's most beautiful LGBTQ news, entertainment, and nightlife publication. To stay abreast of all that's happening in the queer community in San Francisco and Northern California, visit liveleft.com. That's liveleft.com. Or pick up your copy of San Francisco's Left Magazine in the Castro District today.
Hallelujah, this is Shangela, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl, honey. Hallelujah.
Clock the bag.
Clock the bag.
Clock the shoe.
Clock the shoe.
Now punch the clock. It's time to work, 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 work.
Welcome back to Party Foul Radio. I am your co-host, Poet Almar, and it is an absolute pleasure at this time to be joined by our guest this week. She is a comedic icon who spent over a decade on The Carol Burnett Show, where she became so popular playing Thelma Mama Harper that NBC actually gave her her own long-lived sitcom spinoff, Mama's Family. She's also a musical legend in her own right, having scored a number one single with The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. Vicki Lawrence is a comedic icon who is still going strong in her fifth decade in the show business industry. She will be coming to San Francisco's Castro Theater on St. Patrick's Day, Saturday, March 17th, with her acclaimed two-woman show, and I use that in quotes, Mama and Me, a two-woman show. Please welcome at this time the legendary Vicki Lawrence.
Good morning, this is Vicki Lawrence.
Well, hello, Miss Lawrence. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am delighted. I am so excited to be speaking with you today.
Thanks.
So I appreciate you taking time out. You know, this is something most people probably would find rude in some situations to say, but I have legitimately watched your career my entire lifetime.
And, thank you.
And the reason I don't think that that is particularly rude is because there are very few people who are going strong in their career five decades or more in. So it must feel like an incredible feat for you to still be
doing what you do and what you love all these years later.
Yeah. Well, yes. It's been a fun journey.
When I was reading about your early career, because, of course, I grew up as a child of the 70s watching Carol Burnett and seeing you on there. And
how do you say your name, sweetie? Can you tell me?
Yes, Pollo Del Mar.
Pollo. Okay. All right. So, I didn't know if it was going to be Pollo or Pollo. It's Espanol. Okay.
Exactly. It's a common question, so I appreciate you just all clearing right. it up. But
all right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
Interrupted you.
No, of course. No, not a problem. I remember watching you in your career early on in my life, and it was fairly early in your own career, but what I didn't realize until much later is how incredibly young you were when you started working with these legendary individuals in comedy.
I was the baby.
You've admitted that that was overwhelming, and I was wondering how a person overcomes that kind of both pressure and probably fear when entering in an environment like that.
I don't think I was afraid. I think I was too stupid. really. I was just sort of, kind of very naive, kind of in a dream world. It was very surreal. I remember I used to watch the Burnett Show when it would come on the air. When I would come on, I would literally watch it between my fingers with my hands over my eyes, you know? Like, I was just mortified that I was even there. And I remember it was like watching home movies, you know? I remember in the beginning I would have, like, maybe just a couple of lines because I was really hired just for the Carol and Sis sketches. And I would invariably have a couple of lines, and then I would take the coats and go up to the closet and hang everything up. And I would stand there hanging up coats looking at Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman working in front of me, and then behind them would be the whole audience, you know, in a wash. And I would think, just snap out of it, Vicky, you have a line coming up. But the whole thing was very surreal. And I remember at the time when I got the offer to audition to play her sister, I was scheduled to go out on the road with the Young Americans and do our summer tour. And the director of the Young Americans pulled me aside into his office, sat me down, put his hands on his lap very seriously, and said, "Listen to me." He said, "What are the odds that this is going to turn into anything?" He said, "I mean, be realistic here." He said, "If I take you off the summer tour and this doesn't work out, you're not coming back. You will be replaced." And so at the time, it was a big decision for an 18-year-old kid, you know? Were you going to roll the dice, or are you going to do what the director of Young Americans is telling you is the right thing to do? And so it was, you know, giant. But I was an idiot. I mean, Harvey, he used to say all the time, "Forget stage right, stage left. You can't even find the toilet." So I think just being the team player that he was, he set about to make me a comedian. He literally took me under his wing and said, "I will make you. I will teach you to be a comedian."
It is, I mean, it's a dream type of environment one of the reasons I asked, I think, is because what you experienced, other people experience at a far different level, of course, whether it's they feel insecure in a job environment where perhaps they're around people who are seasoned professionals and they're not or whatever, but you did this on such a level that was incredible. And I was just curious, I guess the answer is just be stupid.
Well, I guess so. And I'm just really lucky that I landed at the Harvard School of Comedy. You know what I mean? I had the very best teachers in the whole world. I started at UCLA the same fall I started on the Burnett Show, and the deal was you may go to school. And it was my dad's dream that I go to UCLA because that was his alma mater. And the deal was you may go to UCLA, you have to be at the studio by 11. So I took every class you could take at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. That was about it for me. I had absolutely no... And then it just got to be where I needed to declare a major. So I thought, well, I might as well declare theater because it looks like that's what I'm going to do. And then you've got the whole theater department chasing you around the corner going, "Hey, you," because you're required to do a quarter's crew work every year, and you are obliged to audition for every production. And then if you get the part, you're obliged to do it. And when we first started the Burnett Show, we were, the heaviest days work-wise were Fridays and Saturdays. So I couldn't really, I couldn't do any of that stuff. So it got to the point where push came to shove, and I decided, well, I'll switch to a dance major because they were more lenient about the performance stuff. But I couldn't do that either, honest to God. When in the first day, the first dance class I took, it was a prerequisite course. You had to take it. And it's like, everybody lie on the floor. Today we are a piece of seaweed. I want you to roll over and touch the piece of seaweed next to you. You know, it's like that college crap, right?
Yeah. And I don't know how I could.
I was, at the time, going to Hollywood every free night that I had and taking jazz classes from guys that were jets and sharks in West Side Story. We went to some incredible dance classes, and I just couldn't do it. I got up and walked out the very first day that I switched to a dance major. And I went back to my favorite theater professor. I said, what am I going to do? And he said, you want my advice? He said, you go, you drop out of school, you go sit in the audience and watch the best teachers in the world. He said, you are where every kid in this department would give their right arm to be. So I did. That's what I did. And it just, you know, killed my dad, killed my mom. She never got to go to college, so she was devastated. Until the day she died, said, you better go back and get a degree so you have something to fall back on. But, yeah, so, yeah, it was kind of an interesting, and I did. I literally sat in the audience and tried to learn by osmosis, you know, from, yeah, the very best people in the world. And, you know, none of this would happen today. I mean, nowadays, if you're not Carrie Underwood out of the box, you're gone. If the judges don't vote you off, America will. So it, none of this would happen nowadays.
Yeah, the way you, the story of how you sent up press clipping to Carol Burnett. I mean, the whole thing was so organic. This was clearly something that was fated for you, Vicki. I mean,
I guess so. Yeah, very sort of serendipitous timing. And I will, I tell that story in the show. I feel like I tell all of the stories that people would ask if we were to do questions and answers like Carol used to do, but I don't want to do that because that's her thing. So I put this show together so that my half is really largely autobiographical. And I feel like by the end of my half of the show, you'll probably know more about me than you ever wanted to know. So that's the way we put it together. I mean, I knew that Mama had to be a large part of the show because everybody loves her so much. And I often feel like I could drop off the face of the earth as long as Mama was around. Everybody would be okay with that. So I said, when we put the show together, I said, I need to be me before I'm not anymore. So I'm going to go out and try to make them laugh as well.
You know, I'm...
Oh, sorry. Apologize for my pup.
You know what?
We just rescued a little girl, and she's not quite sure where she is yet.
Well, this is to me, that's a sigh of relief because at any moment I'm expecting one of my three dogs to like burst in here and make a scene. So,
okay.
So yeah, I have a my youngest one is a rescue, so I love that about you. One of the things that you mentioned just now is something that, as a drag performer, I can really relate to because the popularity of the Mama character has been so overwhelming throughout the course of your career. I wonder if at times it feels like when people interact with you, they are actually wanting to interact with Mama. You know,
oh, sure.
My male side of who I am is gone to most people, whether I'm presenting as a drag queen or a boy or what, you know. So I was curious about that.
Yeah. No, I have people all the time will say hi to me, and then they'll say, where's Mama? Like, I should run into the phone booth and turn into her immediately. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. People love her. And they think of her as a real person.
I was really wondering about that. Because of the longevity of the character, people have known that character, because you played the character for almost 20 years on television at various times.
Right.
And
yeah,
that is a lifetime to people, and it, you still exist on everybody's channels in, you know, kind of in rerun. So it becomes a situation where I would assume that it feels at times probably hard to break away from Mama. So it makes sense that you would do the show with Mama.
Yes, I actually get jealous of her sometimes. I feel like she gets all the good jokes and she gets to have all the fun and yeah, sometimes a little jealousy.
But your career is so varied though, because you do your comedy and then, you know, it wasn't until years later in my life that I recognized that it was you that sings The Nights of the Lights Went Out in Georgia, too. So it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, you're sort of bombarding me from all of my favorite things of my childhood.
So we kind of grew up together, huh? Which is nice. That's probably one of the best compliments I get from a lot of people. Is I feel, oh, my God, I feel like I grew up with you. So that's nice. Or... You're like my favorite sister. You're like my favorite aunt. Those are nice compliments, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did a speech one night for a women's group, and some of the girls came up to get autographs after the speech. They said, we want to be your best friend. We want you to come home with us, and we'll have a pajama party and gossip and talk. Those are nice compliments.
Out of curiosity, because of the fact that you went from being a fan of Carol Burnett to being... a lifelong friend. So have those experiences happened in your life where people have gone, you know, where they've had the opportunity to become your close girlfriend or whatever?
Oh, well, gosh, I don't know. Actually, no, not somebody that I met out on the road. I can't think of a time where that's happened.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem few and far between, but I've actually, it's very interesting when people appreciate your work, it starts a conversation, and then sometimes you just discover, you know what, you're a really lovely person. I actually do enjoy you. Who knew?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but I feel like we're all over the country and so fast, in and out of every little town in this country. But it's been really fun to get, really, to get Mama out of the closet and put her in everybody's face, because since Mama's family, she hasn't been seen, you know? So it's been really fun to get her out there and for people to be able to see her live. Fun.
For you, what goes into preparing a show like this one, where it's half your comedy and then half basically sketch comedy acting challenge, you know, based on a character that you know so well?
Right. And you're alone. You're doing, it's one woman, so it's, I mean, you're alone on stage. I will say that the first time I did the show, it was in Las Vegas, and I got a new agent. We started working on the show in January. He said, we're opening in Vegas in June. And I said, seriously, aren't we supposed to go to some little tiny town in Northern California or something and try it out? He said, no, we're going to Vegas, baby. And I went, oh, my God. So I was a little nervous from the get-go. We literally pushed the furniture back in the living room, and I got a very few people that I really trusted, my husband, my son, stage manager who's been with me ever since the Burnett show, through the talk show. I got one producer to help me with all of the logistical stuff that I didn't understand, like how many mics, how many speakers, what, you know, all that stuff that I don't even know about. One musical guy and my writing partner that I met when I was doing my talk show. And he came in to interview on the talk show and just absolutely had a woman's brain. So I said, okay, this is my writing partner. And we've been working together ever since. So that was it. There was not a big crowd of people. And I said, I know how much everybody loves Mama, but I really want the first half of the show to be me. And we, you know, put the whole thing together. And he did a beautiful job of making the whole thing flow nicely. We get to Vegas. And I have never been so scared in my life, because I'm thinking, what if everything that I think is funny, nobody else thinks is funny? And I was really a nervous wreck. And then I realized, I did have people say to me afterwards, we had no idea you did stand-up. And I said, well, you know what I think? Stand-up, sit down, it's all comedy. And you're not really alone. As scared as I was to be out there alone, what I learned is that you go out into a room full of fans, and you find out that you're really a room full of friends, because we all pretty much think alike. And it's fun to just go on that little journey with all of your friends every night. And you're not alone.
You know, people always have said, whether it's theater or stand-up or other things, that the audience is another participant in the event. You know, you can include
absolutely.
Them.
They absolutely are. Yeah. You never know what can happen in a live show. Fortunately, I was trained by Carol. So a lot of me, you know, like people will say to me, what's the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you? And I think the answer to that is when you're a comedian, embarrassing means take the ball and run, you know, and make it funny. Make it a funny moment, not an embarrassing moment at all. And I also feel like I learned, I'm sure there are a lot of people that get dragged to this show by their husband or wife or partner or whoever who is saying, what the hell is Vicki Lawrence going to do on stage for 90 minutes, for Christ's sake? Could I just go home and watch The Bachelor, please? You know, and I think I learned from the very best lady in the business how to put a show together, and that it's the audience is incredibly important, and you really want to keep them entertained. So I feel like I do a pretty good job. I'll tell you one of the nicest compliments I ever got. One of the first gigs we ever got after Vegas was a place called Laughlin, Nevada. I don't know if you know Laughlin, but it's like 90 minutes from Vegas, and it is a world away. It's on the Colorado River, so it's a lot of jet skis. It's an older crowd, a lot of campers, very, very much an older crowd. So we're hired to do this casino there, and the third night of our week's run, the buyer came in to meet us. I never met him. He bought us, you know, sight unseen, and he came down in the dressing room to say hello, and we were chit-chatting, and after a few minutes, he said, so you want to know what the word is out on the casino floor? And I said, sure. What is the word on the casino floor? He said, the word is wear your Depends. And I said, well, that's like the nicest compliment I've ever gotten. that's so nice. I said, oh my God, that's great. I'm flattered. So just word to the wise, wear your Depends.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're playing San Francisco, and I'm assuming that it'll be a mixed crowd. So they not wearing Depends could be a fetish here, actually. So, you know, fetishization of mama. So, I'm curious, you know, I do mention that you're playing here in San Francisco, and obviously you're going to be doing it in the heart of the Castro District at the historic Castro Theater. And I would assume that over the course of many decades and in the industry, you've probably amassed not only a strong following within the LGBTQ community, but certainly probably some of the creative minds that have helped shape you have been members of our community as well. And I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Well, gosh, I mean, I have many, many gay friends, and I don't know, they're great people. They're good. They're just good friends, and they're every bit as creative, if not more so. The guy that executive produced Mama's Family is gay and has such a handle on that Southern dysfunctional family, because that's exactly what he came from, and such a creative mind and so clever and so funny. And oh my gosh, I just have so many. Can I even tell you how many of my good friends that I lost from the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
So many good friends.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that when talking to people who lived through the 80s, the 70s, late 70s and 80s, and who had deep connections with the gay community specifically, like, that is always such a dark cloud. You know what I mean? It's such a sad time. The AIDS crisis came and we lost some of the most brilliant minds of a generation. Yeah. And as a gay community, we lost generations of our own. And it's always heartbreaking to think about that and to hear it. But it's a reality that we need to remember so people are not lost completely to us.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, some of my best friends.
It was a devastating time to witness. And I'm assuming that for you, like, there's a sense of helplessness too, I'm imagining, you know, a straight woman who is seeing this happening.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah. And I think at the time you just wondered, is it ever going to end? Or is this forever now? Dear God. Yeah. It was very scary.
Very, very
scary. I have friends now that live through it that say, I am so lucky to have lived through that. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I have friends who have been HIV positive for decades now who were told upon their diagnosis that to get your affairs in order because you have 6 months, that type of thing. You know what I mean? It was, and most of them were very young at the time. And, you know, it's when looking back early on, we had no idea how HIV was transmitted. So there was nothing that they could do to be precautionary at that time because they didn't know what was causing it, you know? So many people just, anyway, it's a very sad subject, Vicky, and let's not talk about that because we're both comedic icons.
Let's not.
You're really a comedic icon. I'm just one in my mind. let's lighten the affair here. So you've had a tremendous opportunity to tour with this show because you've been touring with it for a number of years. And I was wondering what the most off the wall experience that you've had during one of your live shows has been.
Would you say an awful experience?
No, like off the wall. Like when you're doing...
Oh, off the wall.
Yeah, when you're doing live theater or stand-up and things like this, invariably, one out of every 10 times, something really absurd happens. And I was just curious what stands out in your mind.
Yes. Well, let's think. On the funny side, the first time that I ever got charged by a over 6 foot tall Eunice, who kind of caught me off guard... charging the stage dressed as Eunice, so he felt that he needed to scream at me. That caught me a little bit off guard until we all got to laughing so hard we could hardly go on with the show. Well, I had a fire alarm go off in the middle of the show one night, and we had to evacuate the entire theater. And there I am, dressed in drag as Mama, exiting the theater with everybody. just none of us knowing when we were going to go. But we all had to sit around. Everybody stood outside. I sat backstage, and I don't remember what Mama said, but I know she had a mouthful to share with the audience when we came back on stage. I set fire to the theater, went up in fire one night in Laughlin, actually. One of the curtains caught, it was too close to a light, and it was a big, heavy, heavy velvet curtain, and it started smoking, and I was singing Georgia at the time. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. They've done a neat smoke effect for a change tonight. I guess maybe they're trying something new. So then my eyes kind of started burning, and then my throat would catch, and I was having trouble singing. And I looked at the audience. I said, "You guys," and they went, "Behind you!" They were screaming, "Behind you!" They looked up, and this curtain is smoking. And I'm thinking, I'm trained to, the show must go on. And so I said to the stage manager, "Is everything okay?" He said, "Yeah, everything's fine. Just keep going." Well, man, now my throat's really catching. And I said to the audience, "You guys, is it time to leave?" And they went, "Yes, Vicky, it's time to leave." And we all exited the theater, them, you know, out the exits. And so I ended up going out the exits with them. And some older gal grabbed my arm. She said, "Sweetie, I'm so sorry. You were doing such a good job."
Well, you know, Vicky, you were very fortunate because as the curtain caught fire, everybody took off their moist Depends and just threw that at it to like tamp out the flames.
That might have done it.
Yeah. I mean, they could have saved you with their adult undergarments. Oh,
exactly right.
This is how life works. You know, the unexpected can save the day.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
So you will be here on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, for one show at the Castro Theater. I will be there, and I'm excited, and I'm really grateful that you took time to talk to me today. It's not often that we can legitimately say that we've spoken with somebody who has shaped our lives in such ways. And also, I just have to side note, I grew up completely in love with Lyle Wagner because he was not only on Carol Burnett, but he was also on Wonder Woman. And so...
Oh, he was. Just, you know, he has a funny story, I'll tell you. He left the Burnett Show season 7 to go do Wonder Woman. And he left CBS Television City, which is a fully enclosed studio. Like our dressing rooms, everything was on that stage. And he went to Universal, which is a movie studio. So your dressing room is a trailer outside the soundstage. And he didn't like his trailer. So we went to the bosses, and he said, if I were to buy my own trailer and outfit it the way I would like, would you lease it back from me? And they said, sure, we'll do that. And thus was born Star Wagons. And I don't know how many movie sets you've been around or how many movie location shoots, but Star Wagons are everywhere. They are the biggest rental company, I would say, in the world for, you know, trailers. And they are on every set, everywhere you go on location, there are Star Wagons, spelled with two G's, just like Wagoner. And he has probably more money than any of us and is pretty much retired up in the Grand Tetons. And his sons run that company now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
And all this time,
I just started on the Wonder Woman set.
I just thought it was a sexy suitor to Wonder Woman. And here he was a brilliant businessman, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And he looks pretty great. I don't know if you saw that reunion we did, but he still looks pretty great.
I did. And he's very, very handsome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is.
I didn't have a crush on him because he was so young and so new to Hollywood. And his wife was Miss St. Louis, and they moved out to Hollywood, and this was like one of the, I think maybe the first job he got was as the announcer on the Burnett Show, and he and I became really good friends because we were both so young and sort of naive, and he would take me home for lunch, and Sharon would cook us lunch, and we spent a lot of time together. We became really good friends, you know, sort of would lean on each other because neither one of us kind of knew what was going on. It was all very new to us.
Well, Miss St. Louis can't hold a candle to Miss Fireball. Miss Fireball.
Miss Fireball, yes. Yeah. Which I'll tell you all about it. And then Mama will come on, and I know she'll make you laugh. You know, it's really fun. It's just been really fun to push her into the new century and make her very modern and keep her up to date on everything that's going on. And my partner and I, my writing partner, we work really, really hard to be funny without ever being offensive to anyone. For instance, I went down into Baptist country, one of the, you know, it was earlier in the show. I haven't gone back, God knows. But the head of the theater said that Mama did sexual gyrations and was offensive. And I always started laughing because I said, if she finds Mama sexual, she's got other issues.
Right.
And she was just so offended that she felt I owed her theater an apology. And I was just like, seriously? I mean, aren't there more important things to worry about in the world than, the things that people choose to criticize are just kind of funny to me. Anyway, I would never, ever want to be offensive. I mean, we try really hard to walk that line and still be funny, you know?
Of course.
You know, we're all over the country, and I think, you know, and everybody thinks California is just weirder than shit. They think we're all nuts out here.
Yes.
Bunch of tofu-eating weirdos. And that's okay.
Well, sometimes I think that, too, and I live here, but I like the weirdos. That's the difference.
I do, too. I always can't wait to get back to them.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
Vicky, thank you for talking. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been lovely, and I look forward to seeing your show and hopefully getting to possibly meet you on Saturday when you are here in San Francisco.
Super. I hope so.
All right. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Comedy legend, ladies and gentlemen, Vicky Lawrence, her two-woman show, that's what it's called, Mama and Me, a two-woman show, is coming to San Francisco's Castro Theater on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, for an afternoon show. Find out more at oasissf.com, where you can find out ticketing information. And if you come out to see the show, be sure to stop by and say hi to me. I'm going to be in the box office. Anyways, this is Poyo Del Mar. You are listening to Party Foul Radio, and we'll be back with more right after this. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop.
located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair done for the summer. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio.
And we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I am Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl T.
And that was, as we said, comedy icon Miss Vicki Lawrence. Her, well, I guess it's a two-woman show. It's called Mama and Me, a two-woman show, is coming to San Francisco's Castro Theater on Saturday, March 17th. Tickets are available now, but they are selling fast. So if you're interested, get your tickets today. It is one show only.
Check them out at oasissf.com.
And guess who's going to be your box office bitch that day? That's right. I'll be back in the box office working
come
for Heclina. So if you happen to be in the Bay Area and you come out to see the Vicki Lawrence show, stop by and take a selfie with yours truly. Before we begin our wrap up, remember, follow us on social media, you guys. We have been static on our Twitter following, and we, by the way, we got a notification this week, Pearl. We signed up for Twitter. We got our Twitter account 2 years ago.
All right.
This week. So we've been on Twitter for 2 years, and it's been static for the last several months. So if you're a new listener joining us for the very first time, find us at Party Foul Radio on Twitter and Facebook. I'm the Glamazon PDM on Twitter.
And I'm Pearl T.
So follow us all. Meanwhile, as we said, this weekend is going to be a busy one for you, Pearl. Is that what you said?
I will just be at HSF on Saturday, and then I have to prepare for my step down next week.
She's preparing to head off to, oh my gosh. So if you're listening from Seattle, Pearl's going to be in you guys soon for her step down.
Right. March 24th and 25th, you guys.
Where is your step down going to be held?
It is held at, I think it's going to be held, I don't know where it's going to be held for sure, but I think it's Neighbors Nightclub. At least I think that's where registration is going to be. But you guys can get information from the actual website. Type in Miss Premier International, and it'll be the first one that pops up, girl.
Yes, so if you're in the Pacific Northwest, go out and catch Pearl live as she steps down and gives up her crown to a new queen in the coming weeks at Miss Premier International. Meanwhile, this weekend, I will be, as I said, working the box office for Heclina and Oasis SF's presentation of Vicki Lawrence at the Castro Theater on March 17th. For the best way to stay up to date on all that we're doing, we just told you guys, follow us on social media. It is that easy. Until next week, I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl T.
We'll be back with more Party Foul Radio very soon. Bye.